Third hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rex Road here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley. And as we do every Monday at this time, we're going to have a nice conversation with Corey Curtis News 2. Actually, I have a bone to pick. I have not been able to do this, Corey. So first of all, how are you?
Get in line. That's my first thing I'm going to say. I'm good.
Well, it's finally my turn. So, all right. You, for some reason, decided to take Jared's side on a bad argument.
Okay.
However, there's probably a misunderstanding.
You were wrong?
No, I'm not wrong at all. I continue to be 100% right. But you told me that day, you said something like, hey, it's okay to be wrong. But I was like, I was on the headset in our tent, and I never got a chance to come back at you. And then, of course, I was in Knoxville. That's right. I was in Knoxville last week. So
you were running Monday from the argument. That's fine.
Exactly. See, I want it head on right now. So you're telling me that I'm wrong, that Ryan Tannehill is not the top story of camp. Is that correct?
Oh, that he's the top story of camp? Well, listen, you know what? We can split hairs here. He is the story of the season.
Agree.
And, you know, because it doesn't matter what he does all year long. It's when they get to January, what does he do? That's all anybody wants to see.
Full agreement.
The bottom line, I mean, that is the bottom line. And I think the fact that he has come into this camp and performed very well, I think shows us, you know, number one, he's got his targets every day. I mean, I think that helps a lot. But, you know, he's playing better for whatever reason. You know, I don't know if it's his second year with Todd Downing. I don't know if it's Tim Kelly. I don't know if it's his focus or whatever. But he's had a better camp than a year ago, and I think that that's important. And I think it's something, you know, worth watching. There are other elements to this football team that are absolutely important. The new weapons that they brought in. Can the offensive line come together? Can these new guys at tight end produce like we think they can? I mean, but listen, he's the linchpin, and it's the same for every team. It's the most important position in all of professional sports. And so he is the story. And he's also the story because he lost the last game, and people haven't forgotten that.
Yeah, well, he's the story of the season. There's no. So the argument we had was camp storylines, which to me, so I'm going to take, the two most important stories of the season to me, it's Ryan Tannehill, but it's also Derrick Henry, right? And they're still built around him. And
well, they are, but they proved last year they can run without him.
Yeah, but I don't know that they can be, and I understand they got some huge wins and all credit to them. I don't know that they can be what they want to be if they don't have Derrick Henry as Derrick Henry. That's just my opinion. But regardless, we would all agree, I think, that Ryan Tannehill's number one. I'm just saying camp storylines to me are more like the Caleb Farleys and Traylon Burkses of the world, who are unknown but have to be important. Whereas, I mean, I expect Ryan Tannehill to play well in camp. I don't know. Do you think he was bad in camp last year?
He wasn't great. I mean, he had a lot of interceptions last year in camp. A lot to where we talked about it all the time. Was it him or was it the defense? I mean, he had, you know, because we went from Mariota, who went like the first like 8 days of camp without an interception or something like that. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, and he was good the camp before, and in this camp, all of a sudden, he's getting picked off every day. Not this year, last year. And so it was alarming, and it was either, hey, the defense has really picked it up, or hey, Tannehill's struggling, and it was both. It was both.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can say all you want about pushing the envelope, and I get that, but at the same time, nobody wants interceptions, and they don't want them in camp because what do coaches always say? You play like you practice. You play like you practice. And if you're good taking chances in practice and turning the football over, chances are that's what's going to happen in the football game. Now, it's amazing how our perspective on turnovers has changed, Joe, because you and I are both old and can barely function every day because of it.
True.
But back when we were young little whippersnappers, 14 interceptions in a season was a great year. That was less than one a game. I mean, Terry Bradshaw would have killed for 14 interceptions in one season. Joe Namath, you know, would have two yellow jackets if he'd only thrown 14 interceptions in a season. But the position has changed. The position has changed. You're not only expected to win games now, you're expected to not lose them. And so, you know, that's one of the great changes of the game and the acceptance. Like, Brett Favre it was accepted he was going to turn the football over two times a game.
Yep.
But he made up for it because with the game on the line, he was going to win it. And usually it was against the Bears and the Lions. But
yep.
That's just what happened. But, you know, we don't have – I mean, Brady and Manning didn't – I mean, Manning, his first 5 years, turned it over 100 times. He had 100 interceptions his first 5 years. I bring that stat up all the time that people just can't believe it. He had 100 interceptions his first 5 years. That would get you released today. That would make you Mitch Trubisky today.
Oh, yeah, he's out midway through year two. He's out midway through year two. Yeah, back to the bench.
It's just more to how the expectations of the position have changed. But so the willingness to stomach turnovers has completely changed. There's not a lot of quarterbacks where they accept them anymore.
So, yeah. So my last point on the Tannehill thing was, like, you're right. He threw, as from what I can gather, he threw five picks. Now he has thrown two in this camp. Now he threw one yesterday.
Yeah.
But I guess when camp ended, I did not think, and I don't remember anyone thing here saying, boy, Tannehill was rough. What's going to happen in the season? It was, okay, camp's over. Let's see this incredible offense function. I mean, I hear you on practice how you play, but I also feel like that translates a little bit more when you actually have a particular game plan, certain plays you're repping against a certain opponent 1 week into a game versus camp. But regardless, I
agree with you. Nobody came out of camp saying he was hot garbage. But there were concerns going into the season where we said, we're going to find out, was it him or was it the defense? I mean, there's no doubt that that was a storyline going into the regular season. And as they played the Arizona Cardinals and got absolutely waxed, and how many times did he turn over in that football game?
I don't know that he turned it over a lot. He got crushed a lot. Did he throw?
He fumbled twice and I think was intercepted once.
He fumbled
twice. Turned it over three times. Yeah. Yeah, and they were not good fumbles. He was careless with the football. And, yes, he got crushed five times by Chandler Jones. There's no doubt about it. But he didn't take care of the football. And that was just one of the problems they had in that game. Their lack of preparation and training camp, and not from Mike Vrabel, from a stance of having players available in camp, really caught up with them in that first game. But it was a reflection of training camp. I remember that's what we all thought. They didn't have their guys for training camp. They didn't look ready. Tannehill turned it over in training camp, and he turned it over in that football game. So to me, that first loss was a reflection of some of the things we saw in camp, and it was a concern. And you're right, I didn't say he was garbage in camp, but he turned it over, and that was a concern, and then it started in the regular season.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here.
Is that Adam Vingan?
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Corey. How are you?
Good.
So let's switch gears slightly from Ryan Tannehill to the five players that line up in front of him. We were talking about the offensive line, Joe and I, earlier in the show, and I was sharing with Joe a story from ESPN.com from last week where the Titans ranked number 27 out of 32 NFL teams in terms of the projected effectiveness of their offensive line. Number 27 out of 32. Does that seem too high, too low, or just right?
Well, I mean, listen, this is an offensive line that's produced at a relatively high level for a few years, running the football. But sacks, you know, are a big part of the job as well. And they gave up the second most in the league last year. And they let go their only Pro Bowl offensive lineman from a year ago. So I understand the projection. Dylan Radins is a guy who's a huge question mark at right tackle. Aaron Brewer, who they love, and if you've talked to the kid, he's a good kid. He plays hard, and he's out front, and you know he's going to have every chance to prove that he can do it at 290. But those two guys are huge questions. Ben Jones, can he stay healthy at this point in his career for a full season? I mean, he's been able to gut through it year after year. These are big questions. Taylor Lewan, you know, needs to return to the level that made him a Pro Bowl player, but you know, he's had concussions, he's had the knee injury. So there are tons of questions for that group that have to be answered. So for them to be in the bottom third of the league in projection, I do get. And, you know, part of that is because things haven't panned out. You know, Raidens is taking some time to see if he can do it. And, of course, Isaiah Wilson, you know, he was supposed to be an anchor on that side. And if those guys can play and be the players they're drafted to be in the first and the second round, that projection is much higher. But when you miss on guys, your projection goes down. And right now the projection is down. That doesn't mean they can't play at a high level. Keith Carter's done a nice job since he's been here. Ben Jones, Nate Davis, and Taylor Lewan have all played good football at the time, at one time or another in their career, and they've got to all show that they can get together at the same time and do it. But I think, you know, to me, they're the number one prove-it position on the team.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I was worried about receivers and offensive line going in. A lot less worried about receivers, but the offensive line remains the big concern. Corey Curtis News 2 has been our guest, as always, 8 a.m. Monday morning. Corey, thank you very much. We'll continue our semi-arguing later.
All right. You know, I'm really impressed with your ability to drive this ship, Joe. I mean, you brought it into a break, you brought it into an interview, and now you're leaving a break. It's absolutely unbelievable. Almost impressive. As impressive as Tom Izzo starting the race yesterday.
Wait, Tom Izzo what?
He started the race yesterday in Michigan.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. Gosh.
Oh, where is your Spartan love?
See, now I've gone off the rails because, of course, Tom Izzo is a very valued consultant to the show. I hope that did not mess up his preparation for Robbie and Rexroad.
FOS, friend of the show.
That's right. That's right. As are you, Corey.
Oh, am I? Yeah.
As always.
I expect the same payment for this one as I got for the last one.
Checks in the mail. Corey Curtis, News 2. Thank you, my friend. When we come back, we'll react to Corey and talk a little more Titans O-line. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106 through the game. .5 and 106.3 The Game, bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp. Be out there later today, just a little bit, actually. Presented by USA Hemp Store and Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad. Joe Rexroad, trying to steer the ship. Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley.
I thought you forgot my name there for a second when you said,
Well, I just say.
I thought he was going to call you Robbie.
Well, I currently have more hair than Robbie, though, you know, not by much.
Yeah, you're kind of going to the
shaved head.
Yeah. This but is Robbie keeps it real tight. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a couple weeks of growth right there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know how to transition from that to the text line, but hit us up. See, did you hear that cool lingo, Michelle? Hit us up.
You're so cool.
Bro. I don't think your kids even say that anymore.
No, that's like a cool thing to say in like 2003. On the text line, driven by WellesleyCountyHoney.com.
With your T-Mobile sidekick over there.
615-737.
Bet Michelle doesn't know what that is.
1025. T-Mobile. Good. I like that one.
Do you know what a T-Mobile sidekick is?
Yeah, I wanted that phone. It was one that flipped up like that. It was so cool.
Paris Hilton had it and all the, you know, all those. Okay, anyway.
Oh, sorry. Paris Hilton. Who was with Paris Hilton on that show?
Nicole Richie.
Yes, my gosh.
Simple Life.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes, I've seen that show.
Oh, me too, sadly. On that text line, Ian says, practice. You're talking about practice.
Not a game.
Iverson and Rex showed, probably. So.
Not a game.
I value, that's right. I value the practices. I value camp. I'm just saying Ryan Tannehill looked like Ryan Tannehill last year in camp. And the year before that, he looked like Ryan Tannehill. And the year before that, he looked like Ryan Tannehill. And yes, there was conversation about the picks. He threw a lot early in camp. And I have admitted this, Adam. You know this well. The importance of asking the open-ended question.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the
direct question.
Confirm, let me lead you to something that I think is true so you confirm it. And I asked a bad question to Tannehill last year. I said, like, is this basically you trying to push the envelope? Something like that. And he's like, yeah. And he went, I should have said, what's up with the picks, right? Like, why are you having the interceptions? If that's it, then let him come up with the idea, right? Like, open-ended rather than leading questions. Very important for you kids out there who want to get into journalism. I failed there. However, Ryan Tannehill, after camp last year, day in, day out, period in, period out, team, 7-on-7, he threw the ball well. He had, he was missing his top receivers. He made a lot of connections with, we talked earlier on the show, Chester Rogers, Marcus Johnson, et cetera, et cetera. So it just, this idea that, oh, he sucked in camp last year, and then we saw it in the season. That wasn't it. And the fact that Tannehill threw a pick yesterday, which, by the way, he had a wide-open Robert Woods. He overshot him. And Roger McCreary made a fantastic diving interception. Does not make me think any differently about Tannehill. He's going to be good this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out in the key moments, in particular in January, if they get there. And I still think that so much of his performance this year is going to be tied to the guys we've talked about a lot today, the guys up front, the guys you just asked Corey Curtis about. I like what I'm seeing from the receivers and tight ends. I think that it's hard, not to have an A.J. Brown, but you do have more options. You're better at tight end. Derrick Henry looks great. Derrick Henry now is sort of like just we'll see in September mode now. I mean, he's not
playing
getting
any preseason games.
Yeah, like yesterday they did goal line. And they did goal line running the football. And it was – I was like, wow, they're actually – they are like, they're running the football, full pads, tackling. Like, they're playing some physical football. You don't see a lot of that anymore in camp. But number 22 was not out there. Number 22 was not out there getting any goal line carries. And if he did, the defense probably wouldn't have won as much as it did. And it was pretty back and forth, by the way. But the offensive line, if it's a problem, then that's to me is a lot bigger deal to Ryan Tannehill's 2022 season than whatever he's doing this month. He's just getting ready for the season.
Right. And it will help to have Derrick Henry back in the fold, obviously, after missing half the season last year, because I would have to imagine if you broke down Tannehill's numbers with and without Henry, I imagine that there's a pretty stark difference in terms of, not just the completion percentage and touchdown interceptions, but also like the percent, like the amount of time he was under pressure because he didn't have Derrick Henry for the defense to account for. But look, he's, in regards to Ryan Tannehill, he's an NFL quarterback, and everything an NFL quarterback does is micro-analyzed. Everything. And that will be the case more so for Tannehill this season because of what happened at the end of last season. Every decision he makes in camp, in a preseason game, we expect him maybe one series over the course of the preseason, right? Every decision he makes in camp, every decision he makes in his preseason series, every decision he makes during the regular season will be micro-analyzed. And even more so because of, like I said, of what happened last year, at the end of last year. So, I tend to side with you in the sense that, what Ryan Tannehill does this month, will it go a long way in determining what happens in November and December and January? Probably not. Just because, he is, at this point, Tannehill is what he is. There isn't, how old is Ryan Tannehill?
33.
Right. So, at that age, look, there are exceptions when you look at someone like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, of course. But
just turned 34, by the way. Sorry.
But Tannehill is not in that class, and at this stage of his career, how much improvement can you expect? I mean, you don't expect him to throw as many interceptions as he did last season, and which I believe was, I think our friend John Glennon said he had as many interceptions last season as he did, like, entering last season with the Titans.
Right.
It seems like that's an anomaly. So you hope he doesn't throw 14 interceptions again. But, You know, how much, like, that's the question, like, that's a genuine question for you, is at this age, you know, how much, I mean, it's a question you ask in all sports, but how much better can Ryan Tannehill be? I mean, obviously he needs to have better ball security and make better decisions in terms of where he's throwing the ball, but, like, how much better can he be? How much better can he get at this age versus a younger quarterback who's still, you know, entering his prime or is in his prime?
Yeah, so my answer to that would be Ryan Tannehill is good enough for them to be really good and have a chance to make a run if he plays his best. If he plays like he played in 2020, the regular season, not the playoff game, then you're great with that if you're the Titans. But what was in place for him then that wasn't last year? Arthur Smith, Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000 yards, an offensive line that, especially before Lawan got hurt, but even after, they held it together. But with Lawan, I think that offensive line play, along with the end of the 2019 season, is the best offensive line play I've seen here from the Tennessee Titans. And it got a lot, you know, it was pretty good, like even in 2016 with Jack Conklin as a rookie. That was, like, absolutely outstanding offensive line play. You can look at any stat you want, the underlying numbers, the overlying numbers from last year, especially before Lawan got hurt, and it was outstanding. And then, of course, that season he had Jonnu Smith, and he had A.J. Brown, and he had Corey Davis. Ryan Tannehill is not going to be the Aaron Rodgers guy who drags whatever he's got to a great outcome, or Tom Brady. He's never going to be that. We know that. But the best that he's been here is awfully good. He's got to have the right conditions. So there's a lot of, I mean, again, I don't want to take responsibility off the guy because, like, he was terrible against the Bengals.
Yeah.
And to me, that changed how I view him, because that's like, in that moment, for you to put that out there, you shrunk in the moment. And so that's, again, that's just the question that's going to prevail to me no matter what he does this season, is when you get again to that moment, how do you respond?
Right. And and even in the games, the postseason games that he has won, which you have to go back a couple of years, his stat lines weren't particularly impressive, right?
They weren't, although I argue with people on that because he made winning plays. And that's what it's really about.
But,
and he really did make winning throws, key clutch pressure throws that he didn't make the last two times out. We will keep this going when we come back. More about Ryan Tannehill and the guys in front of him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. Joe Rex Show, Adam Bacon in for Robbie. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. 102.5, 106 for The Game. The Game Nashville app. Talking Titans, talking Ryan Tannehill. Talking expectations, camp, how that folds in. One thing I'll tell you, Adam, that I disagree with you on from last segment, I do not think Ryan Tannehill will get a single series in the preseason in those three games.
Okay.
I do not think he will see a single series. I don't think he did last year, and I don't think he will. And
well, there are three
Henry,
preseason games
Jeff
now, right?
Simmons, there are three, and they may as well just keep cutting them down.
So before, in the before times, when there were four preseason games, the third game was the game where the starters played the most.
That was the dress rehearsal game. It really was pretty much across the league. You could count on starters for a half of football.
Yeah. Right?
It's actually.
So how does that work now that it's been, now that it's three? Is there still a dress rehearsal game?
In theory, it would be the second game. But I'm going to really try to pay close attention to that this year. Because I feel, and I know Mike Vrabel, his first preseason, I'd say he played starters. I remember, like, Mariota played quite a bit of a preseason game. It was a pretty bad preseason performance, by the way, at Pittsburgh. But he has really gone to, you know what, I'm just not getting key people hurt in these games. And I think a lot of coaches have done that. And at some point, you devalue the preseason games so much. Now, for a Titans fan, this year, there's value and interest in Malik Willis, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play a lot. You get to see him. We've been seeing him every day. It's been very interesting to watch him try to, you know, try to work on things and develop. He has improved, by the way. He has a long way to go, by the way. No one should be surprised by this, by the way. But that is the point of interest of the preseason games this year, that you have Malik Willis getting a ton of opportunity to play, and then I believe he'll be the third QB and probably inactive, I think, most game days. That'd be my guess right now. But if you don't have something like that, man, they are a tough sell for anymore. It's just
preseason
a tough
games.
Sell. Yeah.
Like
if you're into a team and you're really into who's going to make the team, you know, if you're really into, you know, who's going to be the fifth receiver, who's going to be the fourth corner, who's going to be the, you know, the fourth inside linebacker, stuff like that. If you are so into a team that you, I will say that, you know, I put up the 53s at the Athletic and people like to read those, but like you got to be like really into that stuff, I think, to watch a whole preseason game anymore, because it's just so much about just evaluating those guys anymore. That's what it is.
I mean, look,
and it's keeping your main guys safe.
Yeah, and even this past week, you know, everyone gets excited for the Hall of Fame game because it's the first quote unquote
football.
Real football since the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's, you know, this year it was the Raiders and the Jaguars. And I think I watched the first series, and I was like, "That's good." You know,
you outdid me.
I don't need to see this anymore because, if you are a diehard fan and you, like you said, you are interested in seeing the position battles or the younger players. I mean, the Titans open their preseason schedule against the Ravens later this week, and it's going to be a lot of the young guys. And if you want to see, you know, the potential future of the Titans or which young guys can take a step up this year, it's going to be good for that. And I was telling you this before the show that ESPN had another ranking, I believe in conjunction with Football Outsiders, of the top teams, their teams ranked in terms of under 25 talent. And the Titans were number 31 of 32 on that list. The only team below them were the team that hasn't had a draft pick in a couple of years and won't have a draft pick. First round draft pick for another 5 or 6 years. The St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. So you know there is some intrigue there to see if some of these younger players can pop. You know, like a Caleb Farley, like a Kyle Phillips. You know, like a Roger McCreary,
Traylon Burks.
You want to see those players step up, and your first opportunity will be later this week. But yeah, the preseason, man, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, well, no, that's a really – we're going to get into that for sure later. That's a very interesting idea to look at the teams in terms of their young players. I do think the Titans have quite a few. You know, if a Raidens becomes a good player, if a Petit Frere, if both, you know, on the other side of the ball, you know, Monty Rice is going to get his chance at some point down the line. Elijah Molden, Roger McCreary, they've got some good corners. But with Tannehill, I wanted to go back to Tannehill real quick. You know, I think a big thing with Tannehill last year, as I said, the protection, the weapons. The problem is, and again, I know it sounds like making excuses for the guy, but he did have some tough circumstances. I was pretty sympathetic to his season for the most part. Yeah, the Houston game was bad. Now, Dez Fitzpatrick, one of those is on him. And basically, if you're throwing to Dez Fitzpatrick in a driving rainstorm kind of day, like, you can't make some of the mistakes Tannehill did. He made, you know, he dropped the ball at Pittsburgh, some critical mistakes in that game. He wasn't great. He took a step backward, but I was still sympathetic to his season largely because of a lot of factors that he had nothing to do with. Playoff game, and you can go ahead and you can blame Todd Downing if you want, and I think there's fair blame to put on it. But ultimately, you can't throw the passes Tannehill threw, even in those situations where, you know, the Bengals were absolutely on what they were doing. You still can't throw it. You can't turn it over. So
on the first play of the game, I forgot about that too.
I mean,
the first play of the game,
it was a tone setter.
Was an interception. I think the pass was intended for Derrick Henry.
No, the pass was intended for Julio Jones. Oh. It was play action to Derrick Henry.
Oh, that play action,
and,
yes.
Yeah, you know, it's – I mean, that was – the story of the game was told on the first play from scrimmage. And
I just remember –
That's a killer.
I just remember listening to all of the pregame, you know, throughout the week, especially Jared. And I always have a fun time during Titans games – creeping on Jared's Twitter just because it looks like he's having a
freaking out,
yeah, so
melting down.
So I immediately went to Jared's Twitter after that. I was like, what is he gonna say?
Maybe I'll unmute him for Titans games. No, yes. But see, I can't, then you're distracted. But yeah, you're right, he has some funny stuff.
Yeah, but as
what
you said,
are they doing?
The tone was set immediately. Like, I remember I was watching the game and I laughed, but not like a this is funny, but like that, like a dark comedy kind of laugh, like this is funny but also a little terrifying. And yeah, it didn't get any better from there.
Yeah, and they had their chances, and here's the thing. There was plenty of talk going into that game about Tannehill, about the season he had, about the fact that he didn't play well in the last playoff game, which was a loss to Baltimore. And I'm not saying that all that talk and all that pressure made it tougher on him, but that's the thing. I mean, if you're in his position at that position with a good team that has an opportunity like that, like, you've got to brush that stuff aside. You brought up the previous playoff games. I think Tannehill played very well for 2.5 playoff games in that run in 2019. And then in the three games that they've lost in a row, three times, Derrick Henry has been stopped by the opposing defense, and Tannehill has not done enough to overcome it. Or last year, Tannehill, you know, just gave the game away. So that's what it's – I mean, again, that's what it's about. It's why I'm just not taking a lot from what I'm seeing. He looks good out there. He's vocal. He's a good player. We know he can play.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that if you take something out of what he's doing, you like the weapons around him. The hard part right now is really having a feel for the offensive line because, look, you've got pass blocking, you got pass rushing, you got great players the offensive line's going against, but you're not touching the quarterback. Things are whistled quickly, and it's a limited view of that. Again, he's not going to play in the preseason, so that aspect of the things around Tannehill, it's still going to be somewhat of a mystery until we get there. But there is movement there. There is something very interesting at the most contested position on the team, and we're going to get into that and some of my notes from yesterday's physical day of camp coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and the NFL Week 1 odds are out, and now's the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on the action early this season. Right now, new FanDuel Sportsbook customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. I like Derrick Henry to win the rushing title this year. I know Jonathan Taylor's getting a lot of love, but Derrick Henry is the way that I would go. I like the Saints as a dark horse team in the NFC as well. I really like the offseason that they've had. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up using promo code ROB. Place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in. Robbie Rexrode. 1-2-5-1-6-3 The Game. Joe Rexrode, Adam Bingen in for Robbie this week. And we're talking Titans. We're talking offensive line a lot today. Got a question on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from, let me make sure I give the proper credit here. It says Scott, but then it says it's Tony in Smyrna. So are you Scott or are you Tony? Is this a burner situation? We'll call it Tony from Smyrna. The question is, what is it that Dylan Radins is doing or not doing to beat out Nicholas Petit Frere? So this brings me to my notes from yesterday. Thank you, Tony, for transitioning me. Or Scott. Tony Scott could be. From transitioning me into my notes from yesterday. So I want to go through some things because I never got to it earlier. Yesterday, big day out there, very physical. The most physical day by far. It'd be interesting to see what Vrabel does today. I'm going to bust out there soon. After a practice like that where they're actually doing goal line and hitting and tackling and, you know, playing football. But yesterday, I will say this. Radins and Petit Frere, based on what I saw yesterday, I think it's fair to say this is absolutely a competition. Now, you know that sometimes coaches like to inspire competition, right? Sometimes they're like, hey, throw this guy in here and let's just see how the incumbent starter or the starter as of now reacts to that. I don't think that's what this is. I also, especially based on yesterday, do not think this is a situation where Petit Frere has passed Radins necessarily. I think it's neck and neck. I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real competition. So again, as I said earlier, you know, Petit Frere just has some size and power to him that I don't think Radins has. Radins at this point, is he a little bit better with his feet? You know, a little bit faster, a little bit quicker. I think that's probably fair to say, and we know that Radins has played in the interior, and it's possible that he could end up, you know, moving back inside at some point. I mean, he can play guard. Petit Frere is never going to play interior. Like, he's a tackle. Dylan Radins is versatile enough to play inside, too. He moves well enough to do that, so that's something to keep in mind. But yesterday, some things that stood out to me. As I said, they did the one-on-one, or not one-on-one, they did the goal line stuff. There were some good reps there. Interesting, some guys to keep in mind. You know, obviously Jeff Simmons is out there, and he blew up at least one play. But Naquan Jones, you've got Deshaun Hand, very much noticing Deshaun Hand out there, which I think is interesting. People may remember, number one recruit in the country a few years ago, went to Alabama. Had an exceptional career, I'd say, at this point. But you're noticing him out there, along with DeMarcus Walker. You know, you've got some, let's see, some teams, some 11-on-11. A great breakup on a pass to, well, a Chigakonkwo can't quite go up and get it. Who the heck got the breakup? My chicken scratch, Vingan, I swear, is bad.
Notes app. Start using the Notes app.
I know. But anyway, Luan went to Chig, said, hey, go get it. But he did say, that is better than I would have done, Taylor Luan, to Chigakonkwo. You've got Vrabel at one point kind of got after Malik Willis, just sort of be more assertive in the huddle would be the message. That'd be the paraphrase message. Be more assertive. Tell them exactly what you want. We've seen Tannehill a few times get after people, in particular Phillips a couple days ago. Yesterday, Logan Woodside got after Kinsey for a wrong route. Again, Shakir Brown, big-time breakup, a fade to McMath, and you're talking about like 5'10 versus 6'3". Great play by Shakir Brown. Keep his name in mind. He is making a push to be a depth corner on this team. Tannehill to Burks. Farley, so he overthrew it. Farley had great coverage on the play. There's a lot of Farley against Burks. It is must-see stuff. It's really good. Amani Hooker missed yesterday. A.J. Moore, you know, I think right now is pretty clearly the third safety for the Titans. By the way, Hooper on a slant with a great route beats Moore from Tannehill for a touchdown. Goal line, like I said, ones against ones. Goal line, big fellas. You got Deshaun Hand and you got different, like Naquan's out there and Tart and Simmons and, you know, Cunningham and all these guys, like the big boys going against each other. I didn't see who Petit Frere got, but he got a major block with a Haskins touchdown. That was impressive. Like, he moved the pile. And that's something that I think if there's a difference between Petit Frere and Raiden's, I just think just the power and size, there is a difference. Other things that happened yesterday, the pick I mentioned, McCreary, a diving play, really good. Willis threw one that it was intended for Robertson. Kalu picked him off. I think it was tipped at the line, but it was a pretty bad pass. TD to Kyle Phillips. McCreary closest to him. It looked like a blown coverage, but again, Kyle Phillips showing up. Again, you're seeing Haskins with a two-point run, with a really powerful run. There's a guy also I think is of interest, Hassan Haskins. Don't know what the role is. Don't know if the Titans are actually going to come out and say, hey, let's give Hassan Haskins 5 to 7 carries in a particular game. I mean, it's hard to plan for that. Some games you're just going to have to lean on Derrick Henry the whole game, but I like what I see from the rookie out of Michigan.
So you said that your feeling is that Malik Willis will be inactive on game day for most of the season?
I think so. I think it's just hard. You know, some teams have gone with the three active, and you could make the case, Willis active, throw him in for a trick play or throw
him in. That's
what
I was thinking.
Little bit of,
could he get out there every once in a while for some sort of, you know, trick play or just change of pace?
He can run some read option stuff, and he's very dangerous. You throw him out there, you got Derrick Henry in the backfield, a little bit of speed option stuff, whatever. I mean, you could do something like that if you want to put that into the playbook, put that into a particular game plan. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens like here and there. Mm-hmm. And plus, it's probably like from the Titans' perspective, a young player that you want to get ready and, you know, and just get as acclimated as possible. Probably not a bad idea to active, get, you know, put the pads on, be in uniform on the sideline on game day. But I think as a steady diet, it just, to me, the numbers, if Woodside's clearly the two, and I think he's going to be, just that's another outside linebacker. That's another offensive lineman. That's another something that you could use on a game day. You only have 48 guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because, I mean, I know that Willis is far from ready, and inevitably there will be people who every time Ryan Tannehill makes a mistake, they'll scream about Malik Willis. It's going to happen. The yelling is going to happen. Him supplanting Ryan Tannehill
is not going to happen,
barring, you know, multiple injuries at quarterback. But, you know, there is a certain sense of excitement about Malik Willis just because of what he was able to do in college and the fact that the Titans did not have to reach for Malik Willis. You know, I think from where they got him in the draft, you know, it was a value pick, I would say. I know that this quarterback class was not as strong, at least according to the people who know these things. But, you know, the idea of having him out there, you know, Imagine if the Titans draw up a play on a random Sunday or Thursday or Monday, and, you know, Malik Willis, who has a bazooka for an arm, you know, completes a 75-yard touchdown pass off a trick play. I mean, that'll get fans jazzed up, and I think there will be plenty of Titans fans who would like to see Malik Willis have some sort of role because, you know, because we know that Ryan Tannehill is entrenched as the starter. That's not going to change. But if Malik Willis could have some sort of role in this offense, even if it's a limited role, but he gets out there every once in a while and makes a play or attempts a big home run type play, I think that would be exciting. And I'd be curious to see if the Titans will work him into the game plan every now and then.
No, I'm with you. I think it could be exciting. And I mean, I think it could be effective. You know, the interesting thing is if it's an every once in a while thing where he's active, then you're almost tipping your hand on the days he's active. But hey, it's still, if you put him out there, as you said, look, his arm, there's no question. I mean, the arm talent, and it's not just that he has major zip on the fastball. You know, he has really nice touch. He's thrown some deep balls with, I think, feathery touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a down by down basis. Not, you know, he sails. He's sailing too many. He's a little bit wide left to right, a little bit too often. And some of that is footwork, I think, and some of it is just everything that you're. You know, he's been really good lately in 7-on-7. He's gotten better. But you get team, and you, even though no one's getting hit right now, you have big guys coming at you. It's just a totally different dynamic, and you can see the big difference there with him, 7-on-7 versus team. But I'm with you. I'd love to see it. I think fans would love to see it. It's going to be interesting to see if the Titans actually employ that. Vrabel does love some trick play action. So
he could be the Titans' Taysom Hill.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, but no one could really
of course
replace
not.
That superstar, Taysom Never. Hill. Speaking of Taysom Hill, NFL at large, we're going to get into some of that coming up next, including revisiting a certain quarterback and certain things that he likes to do in the jungles of South America. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.